Welcome to Maximum Impact, reaching you from the Citadel of Impact, Abuja, New Estate Baptist Church. We enjoin you to open your mind and connect with the Lord as we receive engrafted words. Get ready to be greatly blessed as we join His anointed servant, Pastor Abiodun Aribike.
God is wonderful. He always comes through. Why? The blood. He finished it on the cross. You will not fail. You will not be disappointed. You will not be put to shame. Let's check. Matthew 27:35. Let's just stay on it. Matthew 27:35. I'll try and maybe take some things I have not taken today. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garment among them by casting lots. One of the things you will see here, and when they talk about the crucifixion, I was explaining the first and second service. They only wrote, and they crucified him. It involved a lot of things, the nails, the blood, the hitting, the slapping, and many things. But let's stay here. And when they are discrucifying, they divided his garment among them by casting lots. So if they divided his garment, then he was naked. Abby, that picture that we see of Jesus, where everywhere is naked apart from here, is to honor and for us not to see some things. Jesus was totally humiliated, put to shame, disgraced. He was crucified without anything on him. Go and check any Bible encyclopedia or Google it. Just Google. Was Jesus crucified naked? Just check and see different answers. He had no clothes on him. Why? So that for you, he has taken away the humiliation, the shame, and the disgrace that you can ever suffer. You always come through for me. Amazing grace. You always come through for me. Amen. So if it remains 1 minute for you to be put to shame, he was crucified naked so that you will not know shame. So one of the benefits of the cross that we don't really talk about is that Jesus was humiliated, crucified naked, so that we will not suffer the same thing. Disgrace, shame, humiliation, embarrassment. I've always remembered in my life when things are about to happen that will bring things, I say, oh, wow. Uju bodo timi, I must not be put to shame. I must not be put to shame. He always comes to remembering that he was publicly crucified, naked, so that I will not suffer humiliation. Are you here? The blood was shed so that you will not suffer humiliation, embarrassment, disgrace, or shame. No matter what type is it, financial one, whatever. Any type of shame it is, he was crucified naked at a public place called Golgotha. And they were mocking him. His garment was taken. Why should we leave a garment for the dying one? Let's take it. And they cast lot for it. Therefore, whatever the devil has planned to bring you shame, let the blood of Jesus cancel those things for you. In the name of Jesus, he was crucified, naked, humiliated, disgraced. But for us, it is for our honor. It is for our glory. Can I hear the church say amen? That's one. Still on that verse. And when they had crucified him. Let's go to Galatians 3. Let's look at the implication of this crucifixion. You understand? We've taken one. We will not be humiliated. Number one, let's look at the implication. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the cause of the law by becoming a cause for us, more explanation, becoming a cause for us, for it is written, cause is everyone who hanged on a tree, anyone crucified on a tree, anyone that commits suicide by hanging or crucified on a tree, is a cursed person. The Christ allowed himself to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. He allowed himself to be crucified so that he might take away every cause, past, present, future. Every cause, past, present, future, was taken away when he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Add verse 14 to it for me. I want us to take the two together, 13 and 14 together. Next week together, church, want to go? Let's go. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So, see, if anyone curses me, Christ has become a curse for me. What he suffered, I'm not going to suffer again. In those days, when you commit a sin, you need to sacrifice. You need to bring bull, the lamb, and sacrifice. But since Jesus sacrificed, and we give our life to him, we don't do any sacrifice again. If I have to sacrifice for my sin again, then it's double jeopardy. No two people suffer for the same punishment. You can ask lawyers. If somebody has been punished for a crime, nobody is punished for that same crime because the punishment has been paid. Jesus was on the cross, hanged, and he was made a curse. So if anybody curses me, I just look at Jesus. You were made a curse. It don't belong to me. Jesus, take it. He has taken it away. Repercussion of curses are there if you allow it. Anybody curses you, Christ. Look at that redeem on the screen. Look at that redeem. Is it past? Is it present? Is it future? Before you were born, you were redeemed from any curse that can never be uttered. It remained for you to enforce it. I was telling them in the second service, we are law enforcement agents. What you hear, what you read from scripture today, what you need to go and do is to enforce them. There is cause. Cause, causeless shall not arise. So Jesus has become a cause. So somebody say, you know, go better for you. And you are not going to move for another. Is if I agree with the person that it will happen to me. If I don't agree, I say no. I reject it. Why? Jesus has been made a cause for me on the cross of Calvary. Are we here? So if your family is passing through what look like causes, if things are happening upside down, if the evil patterns are still there, you bring Galatians 3:13 to the devil and show him, devil, hitherto, because I did not know you were doing this, now that I know, let the curse be lifted. Because Jesus has become a curse for me already. He paid the debt. He never knew. How did they sing?
I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And I can see a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. So
it's a price I cannot pay. I don't have the power over causes, but he paid it already. Do you understand? I'll use an analogy. When we were going to school, it was the time that PTA started. When government was not sponsoring school well, and then they started PTA. I remember maybe I paid 3 naira or 5, I can't remember. So in those, when they asked us to pay PTA, they say there's no cutlass at school. We should bring cutlass or bring money for cutlass and all those things. So when we enter, they ask questions. Where is your receipt for PTA? Where is your receipt for cutlass? Do you understand? Your home might not be cut, but you understand what they talk about. Now, if you go to school some days, you did not go with the receipt. And then when you pay, the boss maybe did not write your name or whatever. So they send you back home. Say, your name is not here. Where is your receipt? You have not done. Then you go home. And your daddy gets angry. And says, what does that mean in that school? Take the receipt. Go on. Say, you know, when you take that receipt, when you're going back to school, you are bouncing. That teacher will send me home. I'm going to show him today. Listen, the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross is a receipt for you to show the devil that the price for every cause has been paid and you cannot be caused again. So you cause. Anybody utters a cause. The devil utters a cause. There's a cause running your family. When you give your life to Christ, Jesus and his finished work is a witness that you bring to the devil and say unto him, this is a witness. The curse must be broken. And you break the curse. I remember on Good Friday showing you the three witnesses in 1 John chapter 5. Three witnesses. The word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They are witnesses to what Christ has finished for us. And the curse has been broken. Are we here? So it takes nothing to break any curse in anybody's life. It takes nothing. It takes the blood of Jesus. And the blood has been shed. And the curse has been broken. Are we still in church? So, when he was crucified, our curses were taken away. Do you understand that? Number two or three for today, I can't remember. When he was crucified, every criminal record, every sinful record against us was taken away. You see, that verse where we saw, and after they crucified him, it means a lot of things. Let's check Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. By canceling the record of debts that stood against us with its legal demand. What are the record of debts? In the Old Testament are over 630 laws. Maybe 637 or 6. Let me just use over 630 laws. That's why when somebody is legalistic and he thinks he can keep the laws, I laugh. There are some people here, they don't know, even the Ten Commandments, they cannot recite it. But they want to make about law. There are over 630 laws between Genesis and Deuteronomy. Those laws are written regulations against you. Because over time, we have broken those laws, one after the other. And they are written things against us. He has broken this law. He has broken this law. And that is what the devil is using to accuse us in the presence of God every time. When Jesus came, one of the first things he did, by canceling the record of death that stood against us with his legal demands. What did he do? This is set aside by doing what? Nailing it to the cross. So when they were using the hammer on his hand, all the record of your wrongdoing were nailed to the cross. And the blood was washing them away. Therefore, no one can condemn you. That's why Romans 8 verse 1 says, now therefore, there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. You are not a sinner. You are a righteous person that committed sin. Anyone that has not given his life to Christ, no matter the philanthropy, no matter the good work, he is a sinner that is doing good work. He's not a good person. He's a sinner that is doing righteous work. He's not a righteous person. Righteousness is not in doing. It's in being first before doing. If a man has not given life to Christ, let him do all the good works on earth. He's a sinner that is doing good work. The heaven sees that a sinner. When a child of God, that's when they say, fall into sin. When a Christian falls into sin, makes mistake, commits a sin, the Bible sees him as somebody that has fallen. It doesn't make him a sinner. He is a righteous person that has committed sin. That's why when a believer wants to ask for forgiveness of sin, he doesn't come and say, the sin of commission, the sin of omission, everything I have done wrong, forgive me. It's not possible because you are a righteous person. You are not a sinner. So if you sin, you must know that sin and mention it. It's an unbeliever that must confess and say, oh Lord, every sin I've got, because everything about him is sin. So it is wrong, if you are a believer, to come to the presence of God and you are confessing and say, oh Lord, both the sin I know, and the, which one don't you know? Are you not a righteous person? Sin is not part of you. When you do wrong, you know. It is hypocrisy for you not to confess your sins. And if you confess our sin, he said, if we say we are without sin, the truth is not in us. But if you confess our sin, he is righteous and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are righteous people that fall into sin. It doesn't make us a sinner. But it's a topic for another day. But what I'm just saying is this. Listen to me. All the handwriting of the devil, if you don't know, he will use it against you. You have heard the story of a grandma that had two of his grandchildren living with him. And one mistakenly killed one of the chicken of the grandma. And one saw it and said, I will tell grandma. He said, please don't tell grandma. He said, please, if I will not tell grandma, I will not wash plates again. You are the one that will be washing plates. So he was washing the plates. Whatever. When he does anything and he's eating, so he just come, give me your food. I want to eat. He said, I will not give you. If you don't give me, I will tell grandma. You see, that is the atrocity and the problem of a Christian that does not confess his sin before his God. The devil will be using guilt and condemnation against you all the time. He will come and say, hey, you call yourself prayer warrior. Why were you doing that? I will, Pastor will know. We go do anything. Go and confess your sins. The devil has nothing to hold you. So one day, after the thing was too much, he decided to go and tell grandma. Instead of you eating my food and me washing plate, let me go and tell grandma. So he went and told grandma. And grandma said, the day you killed the chicken, I was looking at you. I forgave you from that day. I was waiting for you to come and tell me. And I saw your brother using it against you. When you don't go back to God, the devil will deal with you. And that's how the devil has many people in church that will join the devil in dealing with you. Pastor, let's set up committee. Committee. The way people are even dancing in church now, I don't understand. Let's set up committee against dancing. Let us tell them the kind of dances that are godly. The way they are beating the drums now, the drums look like Shango drum. Pastor, let's set up committee against drumming. Religious spirit. If you don't understand what Jesus did on the cross, senior brothers in the faith will take advantage of you. Listen to me. God has no grandchildren. We are all children of God. We have equal access to him. Let nobody use super spirituality to pull you down. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you commit anything, remember this. Colossians 2:14. Put it back for me and let's read together. Put it back for me. Maybe we can change this translation. NLT or NIV. Let me see how that one looks. Look at this. Let's go. Having cancelled the written code with its regulation that was against us and that stood opposed to us. What did he do? He took it away and he did what? He nailed. When he was being nailed to the cross, everything written by the devil against you in any archive was nailed to the cross. There is no guilt for you. There is no condemnation for you. When you commit sin, go and ask for forgiveness. Stop all these guilty things. This pride. How can I? After I've known God for 36 years, how can I not? I now do this. It's spiritual pride. Ask for forgiveness and move on. He died for you. He nailed it to the cross. Do you understand that? Hello, do you understand that? Do you understand that? He nailed it to the cross. Verse 15. And having disarmed powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them. So, apart from nailing everything to the cross, Number 14 he did again is that he disarmed the devil. I would be wrong to tell you that the devil is not powerful. But what I'm telling you is that the devil has no arm. Jesus took away his arm. Jesus took away his weapon. Jesus took away everything he can boast in. If you watch Roman movies, you discover Spartacus, all those, when they go to war and they win, they bring those people back as slaves. They take them from those people's city. They walk them publicly in front of everybody to see that there is a new king in town who has overcome and overthrown this person. He takes over everything. He takes those slaves back to his hometown in Rome, and they take them through the street to say that this man was once a king. I have taken him a slave. I have disarmed him. That was what God did to the devil. That was what Jesus did to the devil. And that's why he said, having disarmed powers and authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He did not do it in secret. He did it openly. Listen, the devil openly is a defeated enemy. His arms were removed from him. But you know that if a man is a warrior, with a sword or without a sword, with a gun or without a gun, he is still very dangerous. But he has no gun. He has no sword. But what is he now doing? Shakara, hey! I go slap you now. I go. That is what the devil is doing. He's a liar. When small thing is happening, he makes it very big so that you'll be afraid. When he's coming, he's making big noise, like a dog at home. You know, dogs always bark because they are afraid. That's what research shows. When you see a dog barking, the dog is barking because he's afraid. And most of the time, the devil is only barking. He's barking to make you afraid. I am afraid, though, that will make you afraid so that I will not come in. Hey, I go. And somebody that will stab you, that is saying, I go stab you. He not go stab you. But those people know they talk, now then they stab pass. The trick, the devil is only full of tricks. He brings disappointment. He brings discouragement. When something good is about to happen, what does he do? He quickly brings discouragement. Something happened. He will magnify it, make you discouraged. Hey, and the two of us won't do this to you. Hey, something will not happen to you. Hey, my God, everything, nothing is pursuing. It's the devil making noise so that you run away from him. He has been disarmed. All power, Romans 28, Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, all powers in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And who was it given to? It was given to Jesus. Jesus has all the powers in heaven and all the powers on earth. The devil is just using initial gra-gra everywhere. He has his disarmed. Are we in church? I want us to read verse 15 of Colossians 2 together. And I move forward. Let's read it. 1, 2, go. He and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in it. Have we seen that? Okay. Now, let's jump. Matthew 27, which we are reading. Jump to verse 50 and 51. Verse 50 and 51. Matthew 27, 50. Let's look at this. If you read the Old Testament, there are some regulations. When God asked Moses to build a tabernacle and David to build a temple, the temple has a place they call the outer court. The outer court is a place where every male Israelite can get to. So we might say, beautiful, beautiful. It's beautiful to explain in our church now. Everywhere where there is no rock, tithe alone, that is the outer court of the temple. Are you in church? So that's the outer court. Where the rug is, here is the holy place. And this place is the holy of holy. Do we understand that? Okay, so I almost said people in the outer court, praise the Lord. So that place is the outer court. This place is the holy of holies. A holy place. And this place is the holy of holies. Is that clear? At the outer court, every male Israeli Jew can enter that place. After the outer court is a holy place, which is this rock. People that are priests can enter and minister here. Then on this altar here is the holy of holies. Nobody enters the place except the high priest. And he enters only once in a year. But between this holy place and holy of holy is a big curtain, very big curtain, dark, big curtain. So once in a year, he will first of all kill an animal and confess his own sin. After he confesses his own sin, he will kill another animal and carry the blood of that animal to go from the outer place to most holy place, to go into the holy of holies once in a year. So why going? The first thing they will do is to tie a rope around him. The rope they tie around him, there will be bell, small bell on him, so that if he shakes his body, they will know he's still alive. Remember, nobody should enter, only high priest, and once in a year. If something happened to the high priest, who will go and bring the high priest? Nobody. So that's why they will tie a rope around him, so that if anything happens, they will use rope. Remember. So when he's there making sacrifice, they'll be pulling the rope. Have you been killed? Pulling the rope means, are you still alive? Have you been killed? So he'll be pulling the rope back and they'll be hearing noise. Bang, 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 bang. So they'll know he's alive. Only once in a year. If he enters and does a mistake, he will fall like the children of, remember the children of Aaron, Abihu and whatever, that died in his presence. There was a curtain. There was, in the whole country of millions of people, there was only one person that has access once in a year. Only one person that has access once in a year. See, that's why I told you, today, na party day. Today, na party day. What only one person does once in a year in those days, we can do it per second, per time, per whenever we want now. Give me on the screen. Verse 50 and 51. I've explained that. Let's go. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And what happened? And behold, the curtain of the temple was... So the curtain that was here... Remember, the holy place, nobody enters apart from priests. It is only the priests that know what happened here. In the holy of holies, it is only one person in a lifetime that knows what is there. And he only sees it once in a year. And when he's entering with fear, so that nothing will happen to him. And then, that place, that seat, reserved for super spiritual people in church, God just expose everything and say it belongs to everybody. Maybe the high priest will not be happy. Because the high priest has some, I am the high priest of the land. Have you seen the Holy of Holies before? I will invoke the power of the Holy of Holies against you. If you look at me anyhow, I will enter the Holy of Holies and I will pronounce something against you. Like we do in our time and age. Jesus died when he cried out with a loud voice. The curtain torn into two. What does that mean? You don't need one person to enter the presence of God. You can come to him once you have given your life to him. Are you here? So that's why we can bow down our heads anywhere and say, my Father, help me. In those days, you can't do that. You need to look for a priest. The priest will interpret for you. There was an Igbo English drama I used to watch when I was in secondary school. Is it Inzioku, they call it, or something like that? There's this man that, during the time of Europeans, he's the only one that went to school. So he's the one that interprets things for the Oyibo man.
So when the evil man says something,
he interprets. If you do something against him, his interpretation against what you have done, sometimes he will say they should, you should go and farm in his land for 6 months. And your evil man did not say that. If you don't know how to have access, the people that have access will play izioku on you. They will give some explanation. They will embellish it. They will say they have a revelation. They will say they have a vision. They will say God said this. They will say that. The curtain has been torn into two. They are prophets. They are pastors. But we are all priests. We are not all pastors. We are not all prophets. We are not all evangelists. But we are all priests.
All of us are priests. We don't need anybody to talk to our father. We are not bastards.
So, my father wants to talk to me. He now goes to Emmanuel and talks to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, please go and talk to your brother. Let him know. When my father starts doing that, I am an illegitimate child. My father wants to talk to me directly. He has broken the curtains. The curtains are open. Let nobody use super sensitivity or spirituality against you. The curtain is broken. It's Easter. It is Easter. It is Easter. We are all priests. Jesus is the only high priest now. There is no high priest again. All of us are priests. Jesus is the high priest. Jesus is the advocate. Let no one take advantage of you. We have answers to the Father. The curtain is torn into two. We can ask him for things. We can ask him to reveal to us. We can ask him for visions. We can ask him for revelation. We can confirm his word. The curtain has been torn into two. Do we understand that? You have access. Tell somebody, you have access. Say you can talk to God. Say you can come how you are. Say you can come the way you are. You can come the way you are. You can come the way you are. Listen to me. Religion says change and come to God. God says come the way you are. I will change you.
Religion. Dress this way. Talk this way. Dance this way. God will accept you. God says come the way you are. I will change you.
When Adam and Eve committed sin in the Garden of Eden, what did they do? They plucked leaves and covered themselves. What did God do? He killed an animal and covered them. Those leaves will dry up. They will soon be naked.
That leather that covers them, it covers them with blood. It covers them forever. Religion is like those leaves. Godliness through Christ
is like those leather, that leather of covering upon us. The veil is torn into two. Your pastor is only meant to equip you. He's not meant to play God in your life. Are we here? He's meant to teach you what to do.
He's meant to teach you how to be a priest. He's meant to teach you how to have an access. He's not supposed to be another curtain blocking you from an access to your father.
Your husband does not have a monopoly or spirituality. You can talk to your God yourself also. There is access for everybody. So the curtains are torn into two. And we can always pray for our Father and have access. Are we in church this morning? I want us to take advantage of this and come have the access. Can you lift your hand and say, I come by the blood of Jesus. I come by the blood. Not by my righteousness. I come by the finished work of Christ. The curtains have been turned into two. From top to bottom. I have access to the Holy of Holies. Thank you, Jesus, for the access you have given me.
Can we come? Let's come. Let's come.
Let's enter the Holy of Holies.
Close your eyes. Let us pray.
Imagine yourself entering. We enter into his presence. We enter.
We come before the throne of the Lord. We come before the throne. Imagine, the throne of God is there. There is a majesty on that throne. There are angels all around. We have come before His presence. We come by the blood. We come by a new and a living way. We come by the blood of Jesus. We come by what Jesus has finished. We come before your throne, Jesus. We come before the court. Look at the right hand of God. There is Jesus standing there as your advocate. Look at there. Look at the Holy Spirit there, making intercession for you. Look at Jesus there, making intercession for you. Come into the holy place. Come into the holy of holies. Can you make your intercession? Ask the Lord, talk to Him. Can you praise Him, worship Him? Thank Him for access. Thank Him for access. We thank Him for access. Thank Him for access. Oh, see the angels. See the angels. See them worshiping Him. See them exalting Him. See the angels worshiping. See them exalting Him. See the angels worshiping. See them exalting Him. Thank you, Lord, for access. We thank you for access. We bring the blood of Jesus against every accusation of the devil at the court of heaven. The devil accused Job at the court of heaven. We come by the blood of Jesus. Every accusation. Can we pray? Every accusation of the devil against me. Every condemnation of the devil against me. I come by the blood. I come. I bring the blood. I bring the blood. I bring the blood. Against every accusation. I bring the blood of Jesus. Against every accusation. I bring the blood of Jesus. Against every accusation. I come not by power, not by might, not by my righteousness. I come by the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. I do not have a righteousness of my own. I have the righteousness of Christ. I come and I have the righteousness of Christ. Ask Him for anything. You have access.
We worship You, our God. You are.
What a beautiful presence of the Lord. You have access to the court of your Father. You have access to the throne room. Receive inspiration. Receive empowerment to live a holy life.
Receive empowerment to overcome sin. Receive empowerment to overcome every single habit. Receive empowerment. Receive empowerment. Receive empowerment. Nobody has a monopoly of entrance to His presence. Nobody has a monopoly of entrance into His presence. You can enter also. Enter into His presence. Thank you, Jesus, for the new way. Thank you for open doors into your presence. Thank you.
We give You all the glory. Worship You, are the God. You are worthy to be praised. We give You
that the Lord will release new gifts. When He ascended on high, He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. When He ascended on high, He gave gifts to men. When He ascended, He gave gifts to men. When He ascended, He gave gifts to men. When He ascended, He gave gifts to men.
As we ascend His presence, let Him release His gifts. Let Him open our eyes. Let Him open our ears. Let Him give us gifts of vision, of revelation. Let there be release of the gift of the Spirit unto you.
You have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the throne of heavenly King, to the spirit of just men made perfect. We have come to innumerable angels around his throne, before his throne. We have access to angelic ministry. We thank you. We magnify your name. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Open your eyes. I ask that the Lord will increase your spiritual sensitivity. By this access. Revelations, visions, dreams. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord increase your spirituality. In the name of Jesus. The Lord sharpen your spirit. The Lord sharpen your sensitivity. In the name of Jesus. The Lord open your eyes, open your ears. The Lord touch your tongue. The Lord touch your hands, touch your feet. Let him empower you. May you not be ordinary again. The Lord make you supernatural. By this access. Let there be supernatural ministrations for you. We thank you. We glorify you. Stretch your hands to him. Just stretch your hands to him. What is incomplete in their life and destiny, angels of the Lord? Release into their life, release into their hands. Let there be an instant change in their circumstances. The Lord move you into the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh dimensions of life. In the name of Jesus. May you live beyond these three dimensions of life. May the Lord take you to other dimensions of life. Dimensions of the spirit. The fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh dimensions. May you discover things hidden in God. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord speak to you directly himself. In the name of Jesus. May you hear him clearly. May you see him. Hear him accurately. May you see him clearly. In the name of Jesus. May nothing be hidden from you from now. May the Lord reveal his secrets unto you. By this access. In the name of Jesus. Just stretch your hands to him. Whatever is found in the glory. Whatever is found in the glory. May the Lord graciously release unto everybody here. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for sharing the moment with us. We hope you have been blessed and we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us via WhatsApp, SMS or calls on 090-1137-1118. You can visit or worship with us at the Citadel of Impact, New Estate Baptist Church, behind Silver Mall, near Sakale Bus Stop, Buhari Expressway, Dusse Alaji, Abuja. Or join us on Facebook and YouTube at NEBC Dusse Abuja, on Instagram at TCI_Abuja, or MixLR audio channel at TCI-Abuja. Our worship time is 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays and on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Till we come your way again, stay blessed and stay safe. Grace to you.